Okay, good evening, everyone. Pleasure to see everyone at our Thursday night learning, and really welcome to everybody. Afterwards, there's food for those who want to get some food afterwards in the cafeteria across the way. We're holding in Chodesh Elul, and one of the things that everybody, I think, is concerned about in Chodesh Elul is how are we going to make sure that we come out of Chodesh Elul and Aseres Yemei Tshuva differently than we went into it? This is the time of year that we're really thinking about change and contemplating it. I mean, the thoughts of the impending Yom HaDin are all around us. We're saying Slichos, we're hearing the Shofar, and yet each year Elul we go through the same routine, and a lot of times people can go through the same 40-day period, but, you know, we get all excited, we get worked up, we, you know, may hope to change, but sometimes you go through the whole period, and then you go after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you get the Sukkot, and then you find yourself back the same place that you started. So I just want to talk about what I feel is a very, very important way that people can really inspire themselves to real legitimate change, to real change. I think we all want to change. I think the Rabbono Shel Olam, we know the Rabbono Shel Olam is going to sit in judgment of us. We know we're going to get a clean slate. We're going to get a whole new Hischadshus, a whole new creation. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, all the sins of the past year get wiped away. It's a tremendous gift. It's a tremendous gift these days. These days are a real gift. But just like they're a real gift, they're also a real responsibility for us to try to grab hold of that gift. The more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds himself close to us in these days, the more we have a responsibility to realize that closeness and to try to jump on that bandwagon and do something with it. And that's always the biggest challenge, right? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah already says, Dirshu Hashem b'hi matzeo, that we should search after Hashem when he makes himself available to us. So the Gemara says, Elo Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That's a reference to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Aseres Yemei Tshuva, so then Hashem is very close. And the Chassidish Svarim, they say, what's the second part of the pasuk? The first part is, Dirshu Hashem b'hi matzeo, Elo, that's a Gemara. Elo Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Kira'u b'yoso karov, call out to him when he's close to you, when he's right there. So in the Chassidish Svarim, they say, that's the preparation for that time. You need to call him out during the 30 days of Elul, all kinds of references in the Pasuk to Elul. That during Chodesh Elul is a tremendous opportunity that we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coming close. You all know the famous reference of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, the Rosh Tavis of Elul, the Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, but if we look at it carefully, first it's Ani L'Dodi, and afterwards Dodi Li. The whole Elul is that we're supposed to be taking the first step. If we commit ourselves to the Rabbono Shel Olam in the right way, then hopefully he'll commit to us afterwards in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He'll do what he has to do, but the month of Elul is really for us. And the way I always urge people to view this issue of change, once heard from Rav Meir Twersky, said the following idea. We know that in Parshas Naso, we have Nazir, the Parshas of Nazir and Sota right next to each other. And the Gemara learns from that juxtaposition a fascinating piece of advice, the Gemara says, Haroa Sota b'kilkula yazer atzva minayayin. That a person who sees a Sota b'kilkula, a person who sees a Sota in all the troubles that a woman who cheats on her husband and she gets brought to the Beis HaMikdash and she has to drink the water and all of the issues and then her stomach explodes. So a person who sees that whole story, so the Gemara says such a person should take upon himself a vow to abstain from drinking wine. And everybody asks the Kasha, such a person who went through that experience, that's the person who should take upon themselves a vow. One would say that a person who witnessed that event would be so jarring, so shocking that person would not have to worry about the effects of anything when you actually see that, you're not going to, you know, engage in any kind of illicit kind of relationships. You shouldn't be a person who's worried about excess or worried about that. You're never going to have a problem. You saw it with your own eyes. You saw the sota explode. So Ritorsky likes to say something that we all know to be true, and this is what we feel all the time, that so often we're in moments of inspiration, we're in times of inspiration, we're even mamish seeing the sota b'kukula. But even when a person sees, even when a person's in that inspiration, if he doesn't do something about it, if he doesn't do something actual, he doesn't take upon himself something, do something at that time, so then it's just going to be inspiration, which was cool and it felt nice for a little bit, and maybe we were nervous and scared about it. In yeshiva, we have this all the time, right? The kid gets caught doing something. Kid in the high school gets caught doing something. And oh, he's all nervous. He comes into the principal's office. He gets caught doing something. He's all nervous. He comes in. Oh, Rabbi, I'm terrified. I'm scared. Happened just a few weeks ago. A boy did something that it wasn't even in school. A kid did something out of school that he really shouldn't have done. He was in a certain place that he shouldn't have been there, and comes to me like, you know, so he said, you know, and whatever happened to him, and his parents were aware of it, and his parents came to him. The kid got really, it was very dangerous what he did, and the kid ended up wherever he ended up, and he said, Rabbi, it was the absolute worst day of my life. You don't understand. I'm never going to do anything like this again. I had such a awakening. I had such a lesson that was given to me, you know, and I saw my parents. I saw what I put my parents through, and I saw this. I'm telling you, Rabbi, there's no way I'm ever going to do this again. But how long does that really last? A lot of times, you see, a lot of times it lasts, you know, a week, a month, 6 weeks, and then you're back to it again. So what's the secret? What's the secret when you're inspired? What's the secret? So Rabbi Twersky said, and this is really, I want to tell you a couple stories about this, but the key point is at the moment of inspiration, at the moment of closeness, it's the month of Elul. How do we move to the next level? It's what we have to do is think about our actions, think about what our day is like, and to try to take upon ourselves one small thing. One small thing that next year is going to be different than this year. One small, small thing. I want to tell you a couple stories about this. In 1990, I guess that was before most of you were born, but in 1990, there was a guy named Saddam Hussein who was raining Scud missiles. In the old days, it was Iraq everybody was nervous about. Now it's Iran everybody's nervous about. Every few years, it changes. Iraq, Iran, Iran, Iraq. Who's going to be more? I can't keep track. But in those days, everybody was nervous about Iraq. Saddam Hussein. Now nobody cares about Iraq anymore. But there's a guy named Saddam Hussein was raining Scud missiles down on Israel. And at that time, some students from YU organized a mission to Israel. They chartered a plane, and a lot of the rabbis and a lot of the students went to Israel. And they went to visit with a lot of the great Torah scholars in Israel, asking them, what can the people of the United States do at this time to help the matzav, to help the situation in Israel where everybody was nervous? I don't know if you heard of this, or you probably heard of this a little bit. They gave out gas masks in all of Israel. People, everybody had to wear gas masks, and whenever you heard the siren, they rained missiles. Whenever you heard that, they had something called the cheder atum. You had to they had sealed off rooms where chemicals wouldn't be able to, they were afraid that these Scud missiles, it turns out that none of them had the chemical warfare on them, the chemical warheads, but they were nervous because everyone said Saddam Hussein has chemical weapons and he has Scud missiles, and so they sent the missiles, and a bunch of missiles landed. It's a total miracle that I think maybe one person was killed. They sent like 40 or 50 missiles and one person was killed. Now you have 40, 50 missiles, and from Gaza they launched thousands, but this was a different time. The technology wasn't what it was now. But anyway, so Yeshiva University and Rabbi Yudin, that's the father of the Rabbi Yudin, who's a Rebbe in DRS, so he was one of the leaders, one of the YU rabbis who were the leaders of this group. And they went to visit the great Torah scholar, Rav Shach. Rav Shach was the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, and the YU delegation went to visit Rav Shach, and Rabbi Yudin went to visit with him. And so he asked Rav Shach, what should the United States jury do now to sway HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree that there's apparently a decree against the Jewish people? What should we do? What should we do in America? So Rav Shach said to them, you should go back and tell your congregants. He said to Rabbi, you can go back and tell your congregants. They shouldn't make big proclamations. They shouldn't go finish Shas. They shouldn't go hold big Tehillim rallies. None of that. Tell your people that everybody in America should take upon themselves one mitzvah that they're going to do a little bit better. One little thing, not big things, small things. Take one mitzvah and you can do a little bit better, and that will help avert the tragedy. So said Rav Shach. And Rabbi Yudin tells the story. He says, I turned to leave, and then he was 90 years old, Rav Shach, at the time. He turned, he called him back and said, come back, I want to tell you. I want to tell you what I'm going to take upon myself. In honor of all of your constituents and all in honor of all of your people back in America who are going to take upon themselves little things, Rav Shach said, I'm also going to, sorry, you didn't tell us what he said. Can you imagine? What was Rav Shach, what did he need to do? What was the thing? What was the next thing he needed to do? So Rav Shach said to Rabbi Yudin, in honor of you taking upon yourself something, I pledge upon myself from now on that I'm always going to bench from a bencher. I'm never going to say the benching by heart. I'm always going to bench from a bencher, and I hereby take upon myself, Bli Neder, you got to say Bli Neder, I hereby tell myself, whenever I bench, I'm going to bench from a bencher. So, I think you see from this story the tremendous power that this Gadol B'Yisrael understood, this tremendous Talmud Chacham understood that, you know, I think sometimes we get so daunted by change. We say, oh my gosh, I don't know where to start. I have to change this that I'm doing not well, and I have a problem, and my davening is not so great, and maybe I'm, you know, looking at certain things I shouldn't be looking at, and maybe where do I start? I don't talk to my parents the right way, and I sometimes say certain words. It's like why bother? Like really? Like it's going to make a difference if I'm going to do one thing? But that's the Yetzer Hara talk. That's the Yetzer Hara talk. The Yetzer Hara says, I have so much to do, but I'm telling you, it's so unbelievably meaningful. And you will find it unbelievably meaningful to take upon yourself one little thing. And the reason it works, and then again, I've had this, you know, since I heard this story and other stories, other people who have really convinced me that this is really the way real growth happens. Real growth happens with small steps, with small, doable steps. And, you know, for the last 20 years, so every year I've been taking, or 25 years, every year I've been taking upon myself one little thing. So by the time 25 years comes, and one little thing, and then another little thing, then another little thing, then another, once a year I try to do something better. Once a year, or sometimes it's more than once a year, some other things happen, but once a year you take upon yourself little things, you wouldn't believe what a tremendous impact that makes. And the pshat also is, you know, the Rambam says that about tshuva, the Rambam says that the way you do tshuva is you change your name, Mishana Shemo. I'm up for that one, right? That's good. You want to do tshuva? No problem. They used to call me Kamenetsky, now call me Horowitz. I'm fine. Just change your name. Oh, I'm a new person. Very good. The decree was on Kamenetsky. Now I'm Horowitz. So it's no problem. I like that one. Doesn't require a lot of work. Doesn't require a lot of effort. But what's the pshat? The pshat is that one little thing, one little difference in a person actually means that you are a completely different person. Because you're not the same person. You used to be a person. I remember one year I took upon myself not to talk during Kaddish. During Kaddish. I will never come Gehenna or high water. I will never talk during Kaddish. I don't care who's talking to me, who's asking me a question. I don't care what it is. You know, I will never speak during Kaddish. That was like 20 years ago. I'll never speak. Or one year I said, you know, Asher Yatzar. When I say Asher Yatzar, when I come out of the bathroom, I so appreciate my health. I so appreciate the health that Hashem gave me. Asher Yatzar is all about appreciating your health. That's what it's all about. It's all about that, you know, I mean, how many of us wish for the next year that all the openings in the body should work the right way, and the stuff that's closed, you know, we see, unfortunately, left and right, you see so many people getting sick and so many people with illness and so many people with sorrows. You see it, mamash, left and right, just the last couple of weeks, I'm hearing so many people. It's a pachad. So one year I accepted upon myself that when I say Asher Yatzar, one year I think I accept, so I'm just going to stand still. I'm not going to walk when I say Asher Yatzar. I'm going to stand still when I come out of the bathroom. It used to be always, you know, because I got to always be on to the next thing. I have a lot to do, so I was running from here to there. But how much can you really focus on the words if you're running from here to there? I'm going to stand still. Then another year, I say, I'm going to close my eyes. Now, I'm going to close, when I say Asher Yatz, I'm going to close my eyes. Stand still and close my eyes. You know what a whole different world became now? My whole appreciation for my health and my whole relationship. So one little thing, it's got to be something doable. One year I said, I'm really going to make sure that I do Shnai Mikra with Rashi, you know, with the English Rashis, to make sure that I really understand every Rashi. Sometimes I was like davening. Everybody has to know what they're up to. You have to take a look and see, what am I up to? What is my next step? What is one little thing that I could do, and I could come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah? Do you know what that is, to be able to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, this one, I'm coming to you, this is my karban, this is my nedava, this is what I'm given. You know, between the hours of 9 and 10, I'm not going to curse. Between whatever it's going to be, you know, one word I'm going to take out of my vocabulary, one word that we used to be there, or one show, whatever it is. And Baruch Hashem, so many of us are blessed with so many brachos. You know, the psukim say about tshuva, we're going to read about it in Nitzavim, not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos we're going to read, V'haya ki yavo alecha hadvar me'la habracha v'haklola. You know, when people get sick, everybody's davening, everybody's doing tshuva, everybody's taking upon themselves things. Let's not wait for that. That's what the pasuk says, the Arachaim says, V'haya ki yavo alecha hadvar habracha v'haklola. If you have brachos in life, if you're healthy, if you have food to eat, you're healthy, you're in. So that should be v'shavta, that should be the motivation. Let's not wait for the bad to happen to be the motivation. Let's wait for somebody to get sick. Let's not wait for tragedy to happen. Let's be able to go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is my nedava. This is my donation to you. This is my sacrifice. One small thing we should think about. What are we up to? It's a time of inspiration. When you listen to the shofar, I try every morning when you hear the shofar, that should be a time where a person, it's a few seconds of quiet, of silence, to just think a little bit. Where are we? Where are we holding? What's my next step? Is it tzitzis every day? Is it to say the bracha with tzitzis the kavana? Is it to maybe learn? You know, one year I took upon myself that before I go to sleep, I'm going to say to learn one halacha. You know what that did to my whole night? It changed my whole, it made my whole night end off differently. Every year, just different things. There's so much out there to do. So everybody has to know what they're up to, and I wish everybody hatzlach, and the great thing about a small thing is that it's really doable. You don't have to like become the Gadol Ador by tomorrow. You don't have to become the world's biggest Talmud Chacham. That's not what the Rabbanu said. That's not going to last. That's not sustainable. You know, they did a study when, I'll finish with this, they did a study one year about New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions. What's the number one thing that people make New Year's resolutions about? I mean, you guys are a little young for this still, but what's the number one thing people make New Year's resolutions? Diet. Weight, right? Diet. That's the number one thing, right? They did a study about New Year's resolutions that people gained back 110% of the New Year's resolution pounds that they committed upon themselves not to do. In other words, not only, you know, you were better off not taking the resolution, because you gain back 110%. But so why? Because you try to do too much. It's not about the pounds. It's about small things. It's about doable small things. We have to know what's doable, what's small. So hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya. We're all in a time of shofar. We're all in a time of elul. We're all in a time of worrying about the Yom Hadin. Let's take a look at what's going on around us. Let's try to use this time and take upon ourselves one thing. One thing, Laman Hashem, so we'll know we'll be able to go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashanah, and in the merit of that one thing we're going to take upon ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless each one of us. He saw that we're making changes, so we'll do the first little bit. So He'll give us the rest, He'll push us the rest, He'll bless each of us and all of our families with a year of Chaim and Simcha and Bracha and good health and Hatzlacha and greatness, Lanu, for all of our families, Ulchol Beis Yisrael. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.